welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Okay, well, it is Feedback Friday, and I actually do have a little bit of feedback. Most of the feedback that I've had actually came in some conversations that I had with an operative in Missouri. I don't want to name anybody's names, him or her, but, and that's only because I don't have their permission. I don't know if they want me to openly discuss their name and the information I'm getting. But they had a very interesting conversation with a, I'll say, somebody that ran as a Republican, as a conservative, trying to get the Republican vote in Missouri. But come to find out, and I'll give you more details on this, because I'm actually enticed in having this conversation, or actually interviewing this person, because in the process, this person found out that there were deals done between the Republican and Democratic Party that basically created hands-off zones, that the Republican Party would not allow a a viable challenger to establish themselves in St. Louis or Kansas City, and that the Democratic Party would not present a viable candidate to unseat somebody out in the hinterland. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. We know these deals are being done, but do you have evidence? Well, this is big, folks. I really want to get into, you know, how we've been played. And history proves how far back we've been played. Because the progressives, the very first president that actually pounded his chest as a progressive was Teddy Roosevelt. Now, he was a nationalist, and he was a despot, but he was also a progressive, and he loved this concept of statism, which is what basically helped him brew up his concept of trust busters and growing government by creating, I think it was the Department of Labor and Commerce, and then later on he broke those departments up. Now, the fact of the matter is that neither of those, labor or commerce, even though commerce may be in the Constitution, it is very limited to strictly the foreign trade or the trade that is going out. The federal government does not have any enumerated power to regulate the manufacturing of plumbing products or anything like that. They have usurped these things. They've usurped 90% of what they're doing, they have usurped. So let me get through the obligatories. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants today just because it's one of those days and it's been one of those weeks. I'll give you a little bit more once we get through the obligatories. This show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Bob's seminar is coming up. I don't know when it will be. He promised that he would let me know. I'm on his email listing. And so I was hoping I'd get a little bit more inside gouge on this, like at least telling you the week, something like that. Anyway, Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you're ready for getting some help in disciplining yourself, there you go. That's what you need to do. Now, constitutioneducation.us. We actually need to give you, and we need to start presenting constitutional classes that actually teach people the real truth about the Constitution, not just kind of go over it based on the annotated Constitution like Hillsdale College and a lot of these other constitutional classes out there. It's nice that people are learning, but not learning the perverted version. How many people are actually emphasizing? If you know of a class that emphasizes Article 7 in the Constitution as the most important part of the Constitution, you please let me know. Because I'd like to see when they started doing that. Because, as you know, I've been basically, when I speak to people, when I go to organizations and publicly speak, One of the first things I like to do in engaging the audience is ask the audience, what's the most important part of the Constitution to you? And 9 times out of 10, there's always a large crowd yelling, no, the Second Amendment. And then there's another crowd, not as big, but religious freedom, and so forth and so on. Not one of them gets or understands why Article 7 is important. And so I do know that when I do these presentations, when I walk away, these people have now gained a perspective that they've never had before. Because now they understand that Article 7 identifies exactly what this thing is called a constitution, that it's a compact, and who the parties are to it. In other words, who has the authority over the compact itself? It's not the Supreme Court. It's not the federal government in any way. They weren't even created. This is why we go through this material. This is why we go through the academic material. So we'll get into that. But constitutioneducation.us, awesome courses. We're going to give you the best, and we're going to give you a what I would call a closed deal. Because what we want to do, and we're going to tie this training to your unorganized militias. What we need to do is we need to, and right now, because of legislative sessions, because of my constitutional minutes, I'm really, really just, I have no room on my wick to burn anything else. And so I'll tell you now, because I'm talking about my bandwidth and, you know, not having any time to do anything else. This past Monday, we got a puppy. I think I mentioned before, we ended up getting another English bulldog. So we had three. We lost one because of heat exposure. And that was really hard. And so we finally were ready for another puppy. So we got another female. And I love the breed. I just really do. But anyway, we've had three females. She's our third. And every female that we've had has had a tail problem, that we've had to actually have the tails amputated and removed because they start growing in and so forth. Well, hers was really bad. And this was, I mean, she's basically 6-7 months old. And so we had her get this surgery. And it's kind of young to have that kind of a surgery. But we trusted the doctor because he did the last one on the one we ended up losing. And, you know, anyway, so we were kind of concerned and worried. And it was like, wow. So the past couple of days just juggling are the personal life, making sure that her, you know, medication, all those things taken care of, along with all the other things we've had. So it's been really hectic around here. And the up until Tuesday, Wednesday time frame, where we go, okay, because anyway, I don't want to get into all the details. But the fact of the matter is, it's been really, really tough. And I have not had any constitutional minutes out yet. Now, I just got the news from Bob Worf. Actually, I got the news yesterday that he presented the bill that we've read to you, and that bill went down in flames. Actually, it didn't really go down in flames. Let me pull up the text here, because they voted on it. And because they voted on it, this is the interesting part. He said it was defeated 26-33. Wow. So we've got 33 people out there that we need removed, and we need your help. We're going to be targeting them. I told Bob, well, we knew this going in. I didn't know it was going to be that close. I really thought that it would be probably 20, you know, to something more like 40, 20 to 40, something like that. But no, I mean, wow, this was big. This was huge. I think we've got to look that the paradigms are shifting, that those people who were kind of rhinos, they weren't really hard conservatives like Senator Salazar. I think he's changed. He's realigned. He realizes that there's no walking down the middle of the road anymore. There's no fence straddling anymore. We actually have to choose our sides, and we actually have to understand where we stand and who the enemy is on that other side. So anyway, I'm going to be appealing to you, but what we want to do, and I'm going to try to get through my my dialogue regarding the Republican and Democratic Party once I'm done here. But I'm also going to try to dive into the structure for the unorganized militia, what I believe you really have to have. Now, obviously, it's your own, you know, when you create your county, it's you, the people, it's your militia, it's not GR's. I am telling you that you need to actually create not a shadow government, but you need to create an institution that holds your county government, your state government fully accountable, and your public servants. So you actually have to have a very well-organized, unorganized militia. I love saying that. The oxymoron kind of thing. Anyway, TimberNation.com. If you're looking for good quality hardwood furnishings, go to TimberNation.com. You will love what these guys are doing. You'll love their product. If you like audio equipment, audio racks, those types of things, that was their primary focus. I've gone into, you know, or I've pushed them down these paths of doing more for us and building this desk. And so we're probably a couple of weeks. I need a few more cables and a few other little things to tuck things away. And then voila, I'm going to be able to show you what we have here. Anyway, TimberNation.com, RadioDustCovers.com. Get yourself some protection for your equipment and Ad Local. We're going to really expose the belly of Ad Local and why they're going to be important in reclaiming the Republic. And with that, we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic review. Please read my argument for Republic review as well as my description of the Republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so actually the reason I forgot to tell you why I was telling you about the tail amputation. So we have two other bulldogs. One of the bulldogs, it's the big male, he's about 80 pounds. He is he's like the mother bulldog. He licks them, he keeps them clean, he protects them. I mean, he is the big provider. And so when she came home, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted to lick the wound and so forth. So we had to keep them separate. Well, so today I'm actually recording with him laying down over here. And sometimes in the background, you'll hear him go, roar, roar, roar. And so if you hear him bark, it'll be very loud. And it will be because obviously he's probably in the room here, or if he wanders down the hall. I left the door open, but we have to keep them separated. Our other female, Maggie, who we've had a long, 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 long time, she does not like other dogs. She tolerates them. And the interesting thing is, I see bulldogs. There's lots of them that are in rescue because they don't get along with other dogs. And I go, you know, we've successfully introduced dogs throughout, created a pack of bulldogs for a long time. We've had 2 to 3 dogs. And I'm going, why is it that people have a hard time doing this? Do they not understand how to do it so that you can safely integrate dogs so that they start working together? Maggie didn't like the 2 puppies when we brought them home a long time ago, but she got used to them. She became the mother figure, tried to make sure. She was always yelling at them and barking at them. Don't do that. You know, as the little puppies, they were being stupid. Anyway, so I'm just letting you know, if we get an interruption, forgive me. So back to this Republican uniparty. The evidence of the uniparty goes all the way back to, like I said, it goes back before Taft. Because at that point in time, they were working on trying to centrally control the parties. And they had successfully created a party block on the Electoral College. In other words, they got the state legislators to violate the Constitution to hand over your electors, because you're the one that's supposed to vote for your electors in your congressional district at a minimum. That is your representative. The state at that point in time, before the 17th Amendment, the states, even though they allowed the 2 senators to be elected at large or what have you, bottom line, they have the choice, because technically that is their representative. That would be their voice in who they wanted to choose as president in our new American sovereignty system of a Republican form of government. But anyway, and we go through this quite a bit, but the point is, and the focus is on the parties. So the parties, the Democrat and Republican Party, basically stole the Electoral College and had every state create laws that allowed the parties to choose who the electors would be. They also started creating these primaries. What they did was they down-selected so that they could make sure that the candidate that was, you know, was on the ballot, or I should say, that was going to be available to actually become president, was the candidate that they had the most control over. We'd been, by this point in time, we had already been penetrated and we had been manipulated by Britain, the Vatican, all sorts of globalist entities. And at that point in time, the communist globalist movement was well underway. Well underway. The Fabians got here in the 1880s. As a matter of fact, Teddy Roosevelt, who graduated from Harvard, was not very happy when he found out that a few years later, they were being introduced to this new concept of economics called Marxist economics. Whoa, Marxism. He was fascinated by this. He was really upset that he missed this new age of government and economics. Didn't like the free market. Remember, I've been telling you that people think we have a free market. We have a mercantile system, and under communism, that's exactly what it is. It's not there's no communist. Well, I should say that there is private sector and public sector, and usually in a communist world, most things are in the public sector. In other words, the government is the one that produces everything. They control the production. They control the consumption. Now, in a new phase of communism today, they don't want you to think that they're communist, because if they allow the production to be done in what they would call the private sector, then you go, oh, well, see, we still have a free market, when we really don't. And as a matter of fact, these corporations are all in line. They're playing the music. They're the organ grinders along with the globalists in the organ grinders, and basically telling government what government has to be doing to service and support the globalist agenda. This is why we get into all of these different details like the real ID and so forth. But anyway, back to Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt did his 2 terms. He was ready to walk away. And it was Teddy Roosevelt who actually wanted to push the envelope and actually get reelected again after one term of Taft. He basically accused Taft of being too conservative, not being progressive enough, becoming lackadaisical with some of the things that he did. And there was this Democratic challenger that had no hope of getting elected until Teddy got into the race. And that Democratic challenger was Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson, I believe, the governor of New Jersey. He was also the governor that actually sterilized mentally ill. You know, there was that point in time in our history where anybody that had disabilities, mental disabilities and so forth, they were sterilized. And he exercised unconstitutional authority in doing that so that they couldn't, you know, create more of them kind of thing. And so as repugnant as he was, and repugnant as, you know, some of the things that he did. There's Murphy. And so what Wilson was doing was Wilson was going to basically go down in flames. Wilson was holding the plan for what we call the globalist agenda, because what did Wilson introduce as the president of the United States? It was called the League of Nations. Wilson needed to get in, so Teddy Roosevelt had to have an excuse because he recognized that Taft was going to win. Now, there is a scenario here that plays out, and it plays out several times in our history. If you look at the Taft-Wilson-Teddy Roosevelt challenge injected into this, what Teddy Roosevelt did was he stole half of the conservative vote. Or the Republican vote, because the majority of the nation at that point in time was happy with the good economy, happy with, you know, what government was doing. They saw no need to go to a Wilson. And so what they did was Teddy Roosevelt, he really wasn't trying to become elected as the president. He was already happy with being the biggest guy in the room, or having the biggest stick in the room and being the biggest guy in the room. He was the 800-pound gorilla in politics. And so, sorry about the dog barking, but I kind of explained this. And so, anyway, and when we go to break, I'll calm him down. So, anyway, when we look at this whole race between Teddy and Woodrow Wilson, and there's a lot of great documentation on this, you'll actually see that there was more cahoots than there was even challenges. The bad guy in this entire race was Taft. In other words, Teddy and Wilson were attacking Taft. And so there was no hope for Taft. I would have loved to have seen Taft actually come out and expose and name names and so forth. But I honestly think that what we saw in the Bush-Clinton run is what really was happening with Taft as well. Because I think Taft, as he wanted to be the conservative. He didn't want to cross that line. Just like Coolidge. When Coolidge was asked to come back into the presidency in the 1832 presidential race, I think it was something like that. He basically said, I don't recognize this era of politics. I do not recognize what government is doing today because it does not align with the Constitution. And so I'm not your guy. You need somebody else that can handle this unconstitutional government. And I'm using words that I don't think he said because I think he was being a little bit nicer. Coolidge was really a nice guy. He wasn't a guy that actually insulted people. He was really good at building alliances, making friends, and influencing people, which is, you know, why he was so successful. Even though he was a smaller-than-life figure, I mean, he was not a dominating man like Reagan or Teddy Roosevelt, where you see these alpha males. Coolidge was not an alpha male. Harding was. And Harding just happened to, I mean, if you've ever read the story of Coolidge, you'll go, wow, I mean, how did this guy actually become president? The odds were absolutely against it. Anyway, and that's very common in American political history. But going back to this Taft-Wilson became president because there was a collusion between the Democrats and the Republicans The reason was that they needed a Democrat to actually come in and present the war, because if you look at, and it needed to get into that war, because if you understand the reason why we got into that war had more to do with the Progressive Era amendments and the Progressive Era growth, because at that point in time, Wilson was spending money on things he had no business to spend money on, and he was convincing people that he could do this. And then he instituted the income tax, he instituted the 17th Amendment, taking away the suffrage of the Senate, the suffrage of the states in the Senate, and so forth. So when we come back, what we're going to do, then we're going to jump forward to the Perot-Bush-Clinton campaign, the race. And what we're going to do is we're going to show you some things that actually proves how this was a repeat of the 1906 election. We'll be right back after this. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so as we were just talking about Taft, Wilson, and Roosevelt in the 1906 election, we can also apply this exact same thing to the Perot-Bush-Clinton election. Go look at the votes and look at how close it was. Most people would think, well, you know, it was, you know, a majority for the Democrat because people think 50-50, right? No. As a matter of fact, how many people, what was the percentage of the popular vote that Clinton picked up to become president? No, it's not 50. No, it's not 48. It was 39%. In other words, they recognized going into this race, and if anybody remembers, if you look at what Bush did, Bush hardly campaigned at all. His only real effort was this thing called the train ride through the Midwest. He got on a train and went through like four or five states and made stops along the way, kind of like this historic thing, like, you know, Lincoln era or something like that, of the old 1800s, of, you know, getting out, you know, being with the people. It was a sham. The reason why he hardly campaigned at all was one very specific thing. At that point in time, Congress was Republican. And at that point in time, Actually, I think at that point in time, I'd have to go back and check. I believe at that point in time, Congress was Democrat. That's right. Congress was controlled by the Democrats because Reagan and Bush had a longtime era. And that's, so forgive me. The reason why Clinton actually had to become president to help the globalist agenda move forward is he had to be the one to present NAFTA. If a Republican president came along and said, we want to tear down our walls and, you know, our borders and create a free trade system. And I'm telling you, folks, it was never a free trade system. It was a system that was being created to give an advantage to the larger globalist companies so that they could become bigger and consolidate and have more power to be able to do what they need to do in shaping the world for them. I happen to know this because I actually happened to be in 1984 in Vail, Colorado, during the World Forum that was hosted by Gerald Ford. The World Forum, this was before the GATT Treaty and NAFTA. The World Forum was where they were discussing how they were going to do this and how the government was going to work in helping these corporations become global corporations. I want you to understand, every corporation that is working with China that the United States government has allowed to do that. And it's one thing for China to bring commerce in, but it's another thing to allow an American company to actually go and provide China with our intellectual property. That right there is a power that the president does not possess in the Constitution. The president can make trade agreements, but not only trade of commerce, not trade of technology, not trade of weaponry. Well, I mean, if we're at war, we can have some kind of truce, but giving away American interests is actually treason. And we've had, since Nixon, we've had presidents that have been constantly treasonous in giving away our intellectual property and some of our greatest national secrets. Now, Clinton, if you go to the Red State Talk Radio podcast page on Reclaiming the Republic, at the very bottom, there is a link to a congressional record where Winterm and Curry, two reporters from MSNBC, believe it or not, MSNBC at the time, was a very conservative, or at least these guys were very conservative. They were going after and exposing Clinton for what he did in committing treason. They created the timeline and the money he took, the bribes that he took to allow this treason to go forward. Go read this. Go to page 13 in the document. It's not page 13 on the page, but it's a PDF, and you'll actually see at the 13th page, this is where Winterm and Curry go through the timeline. But the fact of the matter is Bush stepped down, but he couldn't step down. He had to get Perot, and he had to help Perot actually make, you know, these great arguments in the debates. Now, if you go back and watch the Perot-Bush debates, you'll actually see Perot in his game. Then all of a sudden, there was this big argument or this big debate because Perot is going to go in and he's going to set everything straight that this NAFTA thing was a bad thing. You know, that he had a squeaky voice. And so when Clinton got into office, he basically handed over to an idiot the presentation of the NAFTA deal and debated Perot on public television. You know who that idiot was? Al Gore. And so Perot was going to clean his clock. Everybody knew that Perot was going to clean his clock. And all of a sudden, the whole world was absolutely shocked that Perot couldn't even make a fist when it came to arguing with Gore. Not that Gore was that good. It was Perot was that bad. So friends, you tell me what the heck was being done here. We were being played. And if you remember, NAFTA got passed in the middle of the night. And there were a lot of shady things that happened. but it was all a part of the globalist agenda, and it was all giving advantages to China. What happened in the Clinton administration? Do you remember any advantages to China? Yeah, they got control of the Panama Canal. They were going to get control over American ports. Those things Clinton was going to sign off on. And then all of a sudden, we found out about it. And actually, Rush Limbaugh was the one that really made a big deal. And instead of leading, we reacted. And that's what the majority of our conservative entertainers are doing for you. They're getting you to react to the bad things instead of leading on the solution of what it's going to take to actually get this stuff done, to stop it, to completely turn this nation around, and to start going forward down the path of liberty where we don't have to look over our shoulders anymore. I mean, isn't that the day you want, to where you can actually sleep at night? Anyway, so Bush and Clinton, you know, that was done. Clinton won 39%. Clinton had a re-election, and he was running against this old war horse that was another part, it was another shill of the Republican Globalist Party, Bob Dole. And Bob Dole, America was still unhappy with everything that Clinton was doing. Most people think that Clinton was a mandate. Most people think that he at least got 50% of the popular vote, and he didn't, not even in the second election. The second election, he got 42% of the vote. 42%. Not even 45 or 48, not even close. He got 42% of the vote, and the reason Dole didn't win that election is because of you-know-who, Ross Perot. The spoiler, to make sure that Clinton was still in office to finish the things that needed to be done before Bush Jr. could take over and then move the ball further down the field. The unknown name, but as we found out, everybody knew the name of the next president after Bush, and Hillary thought it was going to be her, and I really don't think so. I think that that's a facade. I think everybody understood that Obama and Clinton, they had their roles to play in this globalist manipulation of America. And everybody, oh, yeah, hope and change. And but we've been played. And the Republican Party has been in cahoots with this whole process all the way back to the 1800s, friends. And so when we start looking right now, why is the history of this really important? Because right now, everybody wants, and everybody is just, they've got their teeth dug into the bone, the leg bone of the mailman here, and the mailman is the election. Everybody wants to have full control over this coming election. And I'm here to tell you that is going to be the hardest battle that you think you're going to fight, and you're going to give your soul away, because everybody believes that what we need is we need voter ID and we need strong ID laws. And so the Republican Party in the red states are presenting ID solutions as we speak. I just read a bill in Idaho where they want to actually present this real ID standard where they actually use the quality of cameras for facial recognition. This is happening in Oklahoma as well. This is happening in all of the dark red states. Why is it that the dark red states is going hand in hand and gland in gland with this, literally, this evil plan of being able to monitor every citizen through this monitoring system of closed-circuit televisions throughout the world, throughout the nation, throughout the world? They have the ability with their cloud computing and their supercomputing, they have the ability to track any person around the world once they start merging all these systems and databases and so forth. And I'm telling you, they are merging them, because that's exactly what the Chinese Communist Party wants. They want to have access and be able to provide and monitor everybody around the world. We will be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's explain the surveillance state and why this is all kind of important. Because if they're monitoring your communications, most people say, well, okay, well, that's all they need, right? Well, they want to be able to know where you are and be able to put some logic, artificial intelligence, to why you're there, why you're going in the direction you're going, to put and link together, because they may not have cameras everywhere, but they want to track your movement while you're out in the public air. So when you have your cars and your car IDs and so forth, if you have a car, and because these cameras can actually keep track of your driver's or your license plate and all this other stuff. I mean, this is all done by computers. They don't need slow people to try to put the pieces together. It is all happening automatically. It's like just-in-time, you know, supply systems where, you know, as soon as you sell something, next thing you know, way back over in Ohio, they're making something, and the label for shipping is already being printed, and within a day, you know, the replacement for that has gone right back into the fulfillment center so that the next thing can be purchased. Because what they don't want to do is they don't want to have 100 million things of one particular thing in the fulfillment center. They want to have everything that you want, but they want to have what they think is a reasonable level. And if all of a sudden there's a huge surge in the demand for something, then okay, you'll do without until the stuff comes back in. It's okay. That's just basic business though, right? Now, when they start monitoring you, and as they are monitoring you, your phone is one great mechanism that kind of tells them a little bit more detail where you are. However, only in China is it illegal to take your battery out of your phone and turn it off. You turn your phone off, and oh, by the way, they give you the phone in China. And oh, by the way, as we proved to you, there was something like, we didn't prove. It was reported by Michael Nicholas Gerber, who is in Vietnam. He basically reported that there was about 100 million phone services that went dead shortly after the COVID ripped through China. So in other words, usually, because the government wants you to keep that phone on you, the only reason a phone becomes available or it is no longer in service is usually the person that has that phone is dead. Or maybe they've been moved into a gulag. Don't know. But the fact is, there was about 100 million phones that were no longer, that dropped out of service within, I think, the first 6 or 9 months of the COVID pandemic back over, or over in China. So the whole point is that they have all of these different mechanisms of monitoring you. Now, let me hear the fool say it out loud. I'm not doing anything that's illegal, so why do I care if they're monitoring me? That's the fool. Because government has no right. They have no authority in the Constitution to be able to keep track of any U.S. citizen. These are inalienable rights. These are our civil rights that are protected by the law. That's why they want to get rid of the Constitution. That's why they're undermining it and convincing people that's an archaic document. We don't need that anymore. Ah, but for them to even keep track and start putting pieces together on what you're doing, that right there requires a court to actually approve that by a subpoena that has to be provided and proven. So we've learned a lot about FICA and some of these FISA courts and so forth, and how they've been backdooring your rights in basically monitoring Trump and many other people. There are other mechanisms, and they're all putting these things together. Folks, how many of you have an Alexa or an Echo? How many of you have an entertaining system in your house that monitors you and listens to you and tells and answers your questions? Isn't it great? How big of a fool are we? There are so many people in America today that has and utilizes that technology. It's already been proven. I believe it was the Amazon Alexa, or maybe it was the Apple Dot. And I think it was either Kansas or Missouri where there was a crime being committed, and the company actually reported that. And they stormtroopers broke down the door, and come to find out it wasn't a crime. And so, oops, almost like the Minority Report cognitives. I'm trying to tell you all of this because when we start seeing bills in these red states being presented by Republicans, these rhino Republicans, to basically say, here's our solution. We've got it for you, you fools. You're going to lap it up. You're going to embrace it. And you're going to go home and sleep the sleep of the just until you realize you just put the noose, the rope, around your neck and your children's neck, the neck of this nation. They have no authority to be doing any of these things. And as a matter of fact, all of these things that are coming down and feeding into these federal database systems and creating these links, this is why this Federal Review Board is so important. I cannot emphasize enough why every state needs to start duplicating this and actually start calling out the federal government and turning off all of this reporting, turning off all of these things. And as a matter of fact, anybody who has had their data that has been transferred to the federal government so that you can now be monitored, whether that be your DNA, whether that be this digital imagery, high-resolution digital imagery that can actually do your facial recognition targeting and so forth, all of these types of things have to be actually, you have to be notified that this has happened to you so that you can understand the magnitude of what they're doing to you, or how you are now in a position where you really have no chance to defend yourself. And I mean, they can come in with trumped up charges, or you could just go away. And I mean that in the literal sense, just go away. Nobody ever hear from you. And unfortunately, that's probably happening way too much. But we don't even hear about that. Just because you don't hear about something doesn't mean it hasn't happened. We do know, because we've been finding out, people have been telling us that they're taking people for January 6th. How many times have you read in the news or heard on the mainstream news these people were just recently arrested? How many people has been reported in the news that they are now political prisoners by the federal government because of the supposed trumped-up insurrection? Folks, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for you to realize we have to get you engaged? So what we're going to do, and looking over my shoulder, I got about 2.5 minutes. We're going to start covering this unorganized militia. I mentioned this yesterday or the day before about the radio shows and what you need to do. What you can do is you can actually start leading. And of course, this is going to be, you know, in addition to all the other things that's on your plate. Either you make this happen, it's now or never. Either you make this happen, or you're going to have to suffer the slings and arrows that this big tyrannical government is getting ready to wage upon you and I. And are you ready to die? Are you ready to die for your freedom? Our framers were. And those who signed the Declaration of Independence, they all realized what they were doing. And they willingly, basically promised their fidelity and their lives to this cause. Because the people that want to control you are more than happy to accommodate the taking of your life. The ends justify the means. They don't have a moral code. And that's what's happened when you basically debase the morality. Now, I think there are people that are waking up to go, wow, this is really wrong. I don't want to be a part of that, because even though they may have become immoral and they didn't realize it, they weren't a sociopath. They actually had some conscience, and that conscience kind of freed them. There's still this agency that everybody has to be making these choices. And if you look at how the Bible describes these days and times, these are the times of desolation. These are the times of despair. But you don't have to despair if you're standing on top of the mountain, bellowing out the truth and becoming a beacon. So in creating your unorganized militia and becoming that actual leader, we're going to get into this because we're actually going to have a conversation tomorrow with a state where we got a couple of people that are going to be doing this. And we're going to be doing this hopefully in Virginia. We're going to be hopefully doing this in Michigan. We're hopefully going to be doing this in a lot of other states. And oh, by the way, the people that are willing to do this, the people that are willing to lead and break away from the Republican Party and the status quo, you'll find them in the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party. So if you want to be a part of the party that is actually going to do something to save America, you've got to get away from that Republican Party. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and have a great weekend. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.